The arguments from the petition.
Make a pledge of support for Larry Dowling with the arguments from the petition.
Honorable Supreme Court, Holly, Mr. Marshall. This is a case that was tried before a jury in Dallas County before Lee Brown Walker judge. And the case was, in terms of the factual basis of the case, and I'll just go over that shortly for you. A case based on a couple of theories. One of them that a fraud had been committed pursuant to the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act. And another theory was common law fraud. The special issues were submitted to the jury so that, in our opinion, it would encompass all aspects of the theory as we pled it. The jury returned a verdict finding in special issues that Mr. Dowling had been had purchased a distributorship along with some materials from NADW. Mr. Dowling answered an ad in the newspaper which, among other things, said, "Your investment completely secured. Firm buyback agreement." Now, this ad was run in the Dallas Morning News, and I believe the Dallas Times Herald, but nevertheless, Mr. Dowling saw the ad and went to the seller of the wares. After talking about their business transactions and so on, a contract was signed whereby NADW and Mr. Dowling agreed to do business with each other. In the contract was paragraph 8. Now the contract is in the transcript on paragraph, or on page 8 of the transcript. And in the contract was paragraph 8, which stated, NADW agrees to repurchase any NADW materials purchased after the original order at the prices listed in Exhibit B within 30 days after receipt of said materials by distributor, conditioned upon return materials being in good and resellable condition. Dowling received the material within a week after he was into his operation. The evidence showed that he became disillusioned with some of the representations that had been made and told him that he thought that he was going to get out of the deal. Then NADW said, "Well, we're not going to give you your money back." And he said, "Well, I'll rely on your firm buyback agreement that you have." Well, they said, "Well, firm buyback doesn't mean firm buyback. It doesn't mean that your investment's completely secured. It means something else." They said, "Well, the newspaper ad said firm buyback agreement, and I read this to mean firm buyback agreement." Then NADW said, "Well, we'll resell your territory. You send us the goods, and then we'll deduct the expenses of reselling it, and we will then give you what's left over." And he said, "No, that's not what I bargained for," or what he thought he bargained for. And the Court of Appeals stated that these representations made through the newspaper ad were mere puffery. And that's the point of error number two that this court decided to hear argument on, as well as point of error number three, which said that there was no intent shown. Now, the issues with respect to puffery, this ad did not say that this is the best deal in town, or you can't lose. It didn't say anything along that line. It said, firm buyback agreement. Your investment completely secured. And then they present a contract. Paragraph 8 says repurchase of stock within 30 days. And the whole tenor of this relationship is such that the buyer who relied on this firm buyback agreement and that your investment was completely secured suddenly is awakened with the fact that he's been defrauded, which is what happened to Dowling. Now, the jury didn't have any problem. They found that NADW represented to Dowling that there would be a firm buyback agreement. One. They found that such representation was false. By their own admissions, they said, we never meant that. They found that Dowling relied on the representation, and that the representation that there would be a firm buyback agreement was made with the knowledge that it was false, that such representation was material to Dowling entering into the contract, and that Dowling was damaged as a result, and that the some amount of his damages was $12,000. Now you can see it was not a runaway jury. He invested almost $25,000 and the jury said, give him $12,000. Now, I think that's important because this jury heard evidence from all of these people and that there was never any contention in the court below that there was no evidence. Contention in the court below was that it was puffery, number one, and two, that there was no intent. And the court below went in to say that no intent was shown. And I pointed this out in the brief, but when it says that that such representation was made for the purpose of causing possible purchasers to act in reliance on the representation, that is legally equivalent to that such representation was made for the intention or with the intent. Black's Law Dictionary, Common Sense, and in every other way shows that that is true.
Excuse me, Counselor.
Yes.
Would you read that last jury finding again that you just heard?
Yes, Your Honor. It was the reply to Special Issue Number 11. It said that such representation was made for the purpose of causing possible purchasers to act in reliance on the representation. And in that regard, that is intent. They intentionally tried to make people rely on that representation. And the jury didn't have any problem with that. And the court below said, well, there was no intent shown. The court below was clearly wrong. They intent was shown by the answer to that special issue. Now, with respect to Judge Walker NOV'd it, and there's one other thing that I want to cover. There's not a lot here to say. That
before we leave that, Counselor, now I want to make sure I understand your position is you're saying that a jury finding that the representation was made for the purpose of causing possible purchasers to rely on it is the same as finding there was an intent not to perform? Is that, I just want to make sure it's what your contention is.
No. No, Your Honor. When you say that this ad was placed for the purpose of causing possible or potential purchasers to rely on it, that is equivalent, legally equivalent and syllogistically and synonymously equivalent to, is made with the intent to.
Intent to what?
To cause.
To defraud.
To defraud.
In other words, there are four or five elements in the fraud.
Exactly.
Each one of them is intent.
One is intent. If you do it for the purpose of doing it, then you do it with the intent. Now, the court below, the court below said that the newspaper ad, or that the plaintiff took the position that the newspaper ad standing alone constituted a representation that NADW would buy back the distributorships at the price he paid for them at any time he decided to leave the business. That is clearly not true. Under repurchase of stock, NADW agrees to repurchase any NADW materials purchased after the original order at the prices listed in Exhibit B within 30 days. Dowling was, by the Court of Appeals on admissions, within 2 weeks, had told them no dice. Then, Dowling underlying all of this is not buying distributorships, as the court said. He is buying distributorships, but before he is given the distributorships, he must purchase the materials listed in Exhibit A attached to the contract on page 12 of the transcript. And they are listed as materials. And so that when you go to paragraph 8 on the repurchase, NADW says that they will repurchase any of the materials, any NADW material. And then the materials are listed in Exhibit A. I think that'll be all that I have right now. I'll have Mr. Holly talk with you gentlemen. Thanks.
Before you speak, Justice Spears was not feeling well and has left the bench. Your argument is recorded on the cassette, and he will listen to your argument there. Your argument from the front.
May it please the court, Mr. Lamar Holly, an argument for the plaintiff.
May it please the court, counsel for the petitioner. This case basically was a simple case, and unfortunately the advocate here for the Dowling people did not nearly explain to you about what went on. In the first place, the ad stated many, many things. It appeared in the Dallas Morning News in about the first part of January 1976. And it says, business opportunities, distributorships now available, automotive customer relations system, no competition, no franchise fees, no residual, firm buyback agreement, your investment completely secured, no experience necessary because we will complete the training. So it said quite a bit. And as a result of that ad, which NADW submits as an invitation to come and negotiate, as a result of that ad, Mr. Dowling went to see Andrew Primo. And they talked and they discussed various things. There was a very small part of the ad, which is in the statement of fact, which says the man that we acquire needs $50,000 to $100,000 a year.
That's in the ad itself.
Is that in the ad? I didn't see that. But anyway, may it please the Lord. They got together and they talked. And on February 10th, 1976, they signed a written contract. And in that written contract was paragraph 8, written as clearly, as unambiguously as any paragraph in my 40 years I've ever seen. And it says that, and I do want to take the time to read it, NADW agrees to repurchase any NADW material purchased after the original order at the prices listed in Exhibit B within 30 days after receipt of said material by the distributor, that would be Dowling, conditioned upon the returned merchandise being by the distributor in good and reasonable condition. Now that's where they were on February 10th. Now we went to trial, and after they put on all the evidence they could possibly put on, I made a motion for a directed verdict, which is, I believe, on page 243 of the statement. In fact, anyway, it's in there. And I said, Your Honor, we need the directed verdict because there's absolutely no evidence here on which to bridge the five steps that would result in the verdict and monetary damages as a result of misrepresentation and fraud. And this court knows those five steps by heart. I'll also put in my motion for directed verdict that anything that Mr. Dowling said at that trial, and I preserved the error, that was in violation of the parole evidence rule, should not be admitted if it altered or in any way changed the explicit, unambiguous term. Now, of course, I recognize, as does this court, that certain evidence under the allegation of fraud can go in regard to the passage through the obstacle of the parole evidence act. But getting to the point, briefly, they said that the $50,000 a year in that ad was fraudulent because my man was guaranteed in that ad, Dowling, that he'd make $50,000 to $100,000 a year. The jury rejected that. Mr. Dowling also was confused. He said they told me this entire program had been approved by the Attorney General of the State of Texas. That was allegation number three. That was rejected by the jury. They told me that I was the first distributor in the state of Texas. There had been a distributor appointed down in Houston. The jury found that that statement was not true, but in the follow-up issue, it was of no avail, and that bridge to the damage. Hey, the fourth one was the confused testimony, Mr. Downey, in pages 20 to 40 of the statement of fact. Direct examination of his brother, his counsel, was the fact that they lied to me because they said I wouldn't ever spend over $24,500, and I've had to spend more than that because I had to go out and buy a TV set in order to make a feasible presentation. The jury rejected that. Now, to narrow down that path and to get to the heart of our to narrow down that ad, which the Tyler Court said was puffing. I don't like the word puffing. I like to call it an invitation to do business, or whatever you call it. To narrow it down, if you read special issue number one, it says, was that ad in the Dallas Morning News, newspaper represents Dowling that there would be a firm buyback agreement. The answer to that question was yes. If you will then read your following conditional issues, 6, 11, 16, 21, and so forth and so on, then you will find that there was absolutely no evidence and no pleadings at all to support the fact that that little sentence in the newspaper ad was a firm buyback agreement. Now, I don't know if I'm mistaken on the counsel to correct before I leave the courtroom, but the original petition I don't believe was ever mentioned. And it said, in the alternative, after the allegation somehow brought, at the allegations of the Texas Trade Fact, which is not before the court. In the alternative, should plaintiff not be entitled to the above requested relief, plaintiff prayed that the transaction with the defendant made or be rescinded and bad upon Henry all the goods and equipment received from it. Plaintiff may recover all sums of money so paid as per the firm buyback agreement in the contract dated February 10th, 1997. Now, in addition to that, I don't want to say that I was surprised, because I questioned down here carefully. And I said, questioned by Holly, now they've got in this ad, firm buyback agreement, firm buyback agreement. That is in the ad, was it not? Yes, sir. Answered by Doug. Did you read the contract that you signed on February the 10th before you signed it? Yes, sir. You have it there in front of you. Would you be kind enough to read paragraph 8 of that agreement? Paragraph 8? Repurchase of stock? Yes. Mr. Dowling read paragraph 8. All right, now that was the buyback agreement that is in this ad, wasn't it, Mr. Dowling? Well, the ad says a firm buyback agreement. This is a repurchase of stock in the contract, and I assume that, yes, this is the buyback agreement that they made reference to. Forgive me for being so forth on the whole fact. Yes, sir. And isn't it a fact, sir, that after talking to Mr. Primo on February 3rd and 6th, 19, told Mr. Primo you want to buy two territories instead of one? Yes, sir. And that is exactly what he did. If you go over page 132 of the statement of fact, and you ask Mr. Newhouse, the president and chief executive officer of NADW, and on 132, you say, Carl, what was the buyback agreement? I think I'm correct in the number. And he said, well, maybe 232, I'm not trying to mislead the court. I get my stat file here in just a minute. So Mr. Newhouse said, yeah, the buyback agreement was in paragraph 8. The point I'm laboring to make is 312 by Mr. Newhouse. The jury, if it answered anything at all, answered a question that I think when we finish with this argument is going to show this honorable court clearly to have been something that had no evidence at all in the record. The only other reference that Mr. Dowling made to even the word firm back agreement was when his brother carried him through those facts that he thought would lead to the issues regarding the Attorney General approval, making $50,000 a year, the first distributor in Texas, never over 24.5. Well, did he have anything else? And he said, well, I don't think I follow. He said, well, were there any other representations, objection because of leading, objection overruled, let it in? Well, yeah, what I thought was a firm buyback agreement was not a firm buyback agreement. Mr. Newhouse said, question by Holly right there, read that line, firm, where it says firm buyback, he's reading paragraph 8. My arm may not be long enough. Firm buyback agreement, your investment. What does that mean? Mr. Newhouse said, firm buyback agreement is as outlined in the contract. And would you read paragraph 8 of the contract? You did. Now, it seems to me that bricks are the slats on which the bed of the fraud must rest is not that. And that's why, among other things, we ask for an NOV in view of this issue number one.
Well, so, we haven't talked any about your investment completely secured. I don't know whether that's part of firm buyback agreement.
Your Honor,
that your investment will be completely secured, or...
Your Honor, that has never had anything to do with the lawsuit. The plaintiff has never contended about it, and that's the first time I've ever really had the question asked. It's always been about the Attorney General and the first distributor and not making enough money.
Well, buyback agreement, including your complete investment, might be the same.
There's no pleadings on it. There's no evidence on it, Your Honor. I'm not trying to evade your question. It just has not entered this lawsuit, which has been after a rather lengthy litigation. I do wish to say that there's never been a time when I seriously felt that the little word in the newspaper ad was material. And that representation must be material. Briefly, I go along with the Tyler Court, and I mean that respectfully, that that was not a representation.
Counselor,
about
which bed slab is missing?
It is a promise, if anything, to do something in the future, but the bed slab that is missing is that firm buyback agreement in a newspaper ad. It's not a material statement. In view of the fact...
Well, isn't that a jury question?
Sir,
in that jury question?
It was a question submitted to the jury, which had no support whatsoever in evidence.
Well, now the ad itself is some evidence, isn't it?
Sir?
Isn't the ad itself some evidence?
The ad itself is evidence. I agree with that, but it has nothing to do with materiality. And I wish to say in that regard that the courts have held on many, many occasions that in order, I mean, if a statement is material, it's a but-for, that representation is the thing that made me enter into that contract. But for that statement, I would have entered into that contract. It's paraphrasing the thing I call
it. Well, didn't the jury find Mr. Dowling relied on that ad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're saying he was never a word of evidence that he relied on. Is that your finding before?
I've read you all the evidence about the newspaper ad. Another thing that's peculiar in these issues, another reason why I asked for an NOV. If you read issue number 1, 6, 11, and 16, you'll see that 1, 6, and 16 are framed in what happened to Mr. Dowling. Now, if you'll read issue number 11 and number 29, I don't know whether or not they're in conflict. I'm not that smart. And I'm being very honest with the court about that. But it says, it didn't say Dowling, it says 11, it might have meant Dowling. I'm sure it did mean that. Was NAD representation made in the newspaper ad that there would be a firm buyback agreement made for the purpose of causing possible purchase act reliance on it? Possible purchase? It was. Now turn over and read 29, if the court please.
What is 29? We have 27. I don't know whether I know 29.
Sir?
We have issues 27 and 28. What's 29?
Well, 29 was their attempt to get exempt for damages, but...
Where's the conflict in there? You suggested there might be a conflict between and 29.
Well, 29 uses the same identical terminology, using the word possible purchase. Justice Pope, may I read 29?
Yeah, that's...
Was the newspaper advertisement representation, if any, that there would be a firm buyback agreement in connection with the purchase of the NAD program made for the purpose of injuring possible purchase. Or, and the answer it was not. Or made recklessly without regard to whether it might injure possible purchase. To some degree, they chose the word or. I didn't choose it. It was their issue. So the jury found it was something that might injure possible purchase, and the jury found no, it was not.
So well, you see how that'd be disputed. That's what you put the ads for, that wasn't it?
Sir?
That's what the ads for, interest possible purchase.
Yes, sir, and the brain. Well, I don't think it was disputed, if I understand Your Honor correct.
Maybe I don't understand directly you, Your Honor. What you put the ad in for was call this number.
That's true. I do want to say that under the, I would not have entered into the contract but for the ad in the newspaper clearly points to the position of law that it was not material, because Mr. Dowling stated in his testimony, what else did you do to confirm the deal before you paid your money and signed the contract? And he said, well, they gave me the names of customers, and I called four or five people that had bought the distributor. And then they told me that it was a viable program and a sound program. So he signed that contract because he called other distributors that he just bought, and because he felt like that it was a good program and on which he would make a lot of money. Now, gentlemen, I hope that I have not gone off the end when I say that under Rule 301, a court can grant a motion for a directed verdict in two instances, which you know very well. Number one is where a directed verdict would have been proper. And I submit to you that in view of the fact that these parties both thought that paragraph 8 was a firm buyback agreement, in view of the fact that these parties both swore that paragraph 8 was a firm buyback agreement, that as Judge Walker said, I see no fraud. He did not grant the directed verdict because he let the thing go on to the jury, but he told Larry and I think Mr. Dowling confirmed it, and I'm going to let you go to the jury, but I may have to NOV. And the second way the court under Rule 301 can NOV it is if there is an issue that has no substantial poured on the evidence. Now, Judge Claude Williams and Judge Dick Dixon in the Hoopla case, Judge Williams, if you can miss me, Shaw versus Hoopla Jordan, the Judge Dixon's case, which I'll get in just a minute, Justice Williams, Claude Williams, in TM Productions versus Nichols in the Fifth Court, 542 seconds, 704, said that Rule 601 doesn't mean no evidence at all. It means a legally insufficient amount of evidence that would normally support or establish a proposition of fact. Now, in conclusion, we say, Dan, every word that Mr. Dowling did not say about the newspaper ad and being affirmed by that agreement and his interpretation of that would have been, under the Supreme Court's Hubachek case, a clear-cut violation of the parole evidence rule, and I don't think would have been admissible. And I certainly interjected the parole evidence rule at all places.
Would it be your view that, not you, but anybody else, to put all the outrageous things in the world in the newspaper, promise the moon, ever sign a piece of paper, you get away with it?
No, sir, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say that you have to judge each case on the individual set of facts. And I've already told the court I don't like the word puppet, but all in the world that this ad did was invite a member of the general public in to negotiate.
Counselor, one of the grounds upon which the Court of Appeals based its opinion was that this was a promise as opposed to a representation of an existing fact. I'd like to have you talk that a little, if you would.
All right, I would. I'm out of time, but I certainly will. I think what they're talking about, and I certainly respect and agree with them, is more clearly set forth, again, I believe, by Judge Williams in the Ursel case, which is Dallas 5th Circuit case. Give me just a second. I'll find it. And then in the Medina versus Sherrod case, which is a Court of Appeals case out of San Antonio. And it said in the Ursel case, which is 221 Southwest 2nd, 869, referring now to a promise, maybe to do something in the future. Maybe this was a promise. I promised to give you a firm buyback agreement. But whatever it is, it's a promise to do something in the future. It is worthy, it is a clear intention not to perform. Respondent offered some substantial relief to petitioner, in this case, who rejected it out of hand when we offered to buy it back and give him the money, and he refused it by letter. But in the Medina case, 391 Second 166, the San Antonio case, it is stated the failure to perform a promise to do something in the future is actionable only when it is proved by doubting that at the time the promise was made, the promisor did not intend to perform. Now in 499 Southwestern 2nd, 49 I believe it is, Morgan versus Bach, apparently Justice Williams was very busy on the Dallas court. He said the same thing, and he said that if there is no issue which specifically finds that NADW did not specifically intend to carry out that promise in the future, then there can be no recovery. And then I do want to close by saying that...
Would you have one more question for me?
Yes. I'll leave it back.
Okay. Issue number 11 was representations made for the purpose of causing possible purchasers to rely on it. Is there any connection between that and as a substitute for the issue that did not have the present intent to perform that promise?
If there is, I cannot. My mind as a lawyer doesn't stretch that far. I cannot do it. I do say this, a friend of mine, and I'm sure a friend of a lot of yours, Chief Justice Dick Dixon of the Dallas Court, in Shaw Equipment versus Stupla Jordan at 428 Southwestern 2nd, 835. Now this, to me, if I'm not mistaken, Justice Parent and others, fits this thing like a glove. One may not successfully sue for cancellation of the contract on the ground of false representation when at the time, February 10th, 1976, the contract was signed, the truth about the fact even, and I'm reading now, the truth about fact misrepresented was known. But even if we say that the words in the newspaper ad, firm buyback agreement, even if we admit they were a misrepresentation, even if we admit they were a misrepresentation in light of paragraph 8 in the pleading, even if we admit all of that, he knew when he signed the contract on February 10th that paragraph 8 was the firm buyback agreement.
What's the title on that, too?
It's, Shaw Equipment Company versus Hoopel Jordan Construction Company, Chief Justice Dixon, 428 Southwestern 2nd, 835. And I'm out of time.
Counsel, answer this on my time or on the court's time.
I'll do my best.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying about the effect of this paragraph 8 in the contract.
Yes.
I somehow get the idea that what you're arguing is that if the newspaper ad was a representation, that that representation was fully complied with at the time they signed the contract that contained paragraph 8.
In answer, Your Honor, said another way.
Can you answer that question? And then go ahead and say whatever you want.
In other words,
it sounds to me like what you're saying is the mere act of making the contract was complete compliance with everything that the newspaper ad represented.
That is correct. Yeah. It says in the newspaper ad, firm buyback.
Whatever happened thereafter could not be a non-compliance because the company had made its contract just like it said.
I think so, you know. Yes. And that is, in total finality, the perfect reason for an NOV. No evidence.
Polly, I don't think I'm a potential customer, but just a matter of our curiosity. Tell me in 1 minute what NAD doesn't sell.
Well, NAD doesn't.